The Tom Woods Show, episode 1918.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey folks, Tom Woods here. Mark Skousen is with us today. And I want to pick his brain a little bit about investing and then talk also about what's going on next month, July, with Freedom Fest, because he has some interesting panels and speakers and debates ready to go for that. And I'm chairing a few of those panels, so we want to talk about that also. But Mark Skousen is a whole bunch of things, an author, college professor. He is the founder and host of Freedom Fest, and he is the publisher of Forecasts and Strategies, which is an investment newsletter he's been publishing since 1980. And I have just started reading it myself, and I just had a few questions I thought I might want to ask him. And then, as I say, we're going to talk about some other things as well. Mark, welcome back.
Well, it's good to be with you, and we're both in Florida. How about that?
Oh, how about that? I actually didn't know you were in Florida at this moment.
Yeah, I have a home in California and Florida, so guess which one is my residence?
Well, sure. I mean, I have visited both of those homes, as a matter of fact, but I was just out in Los Angeles last week, but I actually wound up staying in Long Beach. And it's far more normal now than it would have been a year ago. Still a lot of craziness, but I was able to visit a couple people. I had one of my daughters with me, and it wasn't too bad. But I'm kind of glad to be back here in old Florida, the standard bearer of the nation at this moment.
Yes, but if you believe Al Gore, it won't be long before you will be inundated with water.
Well, you know, I'm telling you something, Mark. I'm waiting for the day. You know how they all say, if we don't act now, it'll be too late. But they keep saying that if we don't act now, it'll be too late. When are they going to wake up and say, all right, everybody, it's officially too late? So don't even bother at this point. When are they going to say that? I don't think ever. It's always going to be almost there, but we have to act now. It'll never be too late. When's that coming?
Well, they're never going to be around long enough to be proven wrong. That's the problem.
Yeah, I know. So, all right, I want to talk about a few things going on in the news with you. But before we do that, I want to ask you, as an investor who publishes an investment newsletter and has been doing so for over 40 years now, Forecasts and Strategies, I'm interested in particular in investment advice where you might say, okay, folks, this month I recommend that you do X and Y, you buy this, you sell that. But in particular, what is your view of the, let's say, medium-term and long-term wisdom of buying stocks connected to fossil fuels when we know governments are just waging war on them?
This is one of the ironies of the Biden era, is that the green stocks have really not done well at all, but the fossil fuel traditional oil and gas industry has been booming. Oil prices, gas prices have been rising. And maybe it's because they've shut off the supply and they've cut off the Keystone pipeline and they're anti-fracking and so forth. So that seems to be, and then the economy is recovering, and you put those two together and you're going to see higher oil and gas prices, which has been great for the stocks that I've been recommending, all high income stocks that are linked to oil and gas. And I think that trend is going to continue. I mean, oil is now over $70 a barrel. I don't know how much higher it's going to go, but profits are being made even by ExxonMobil. A lot of people thought we're going to have to cut their dividend or discontinue it. So it's been a significant surprise, let's put it. And, you know, in terms of just where to invest and so on, well, we're in an era of aggressive expansion of monetary and fiscal policy. A lot of stimulus out there. It's highly inflationary, but it's going to benefit certain sectors of the economy. And value investing in particular, these are the high income stocks that were kind of hit hard last year, like the banking stocks and small business stocks, their nursing home shares, oil and gas. There's all kinds of these high income value plays that are now making a big comeback. And I think that's the trend for 2021. So, you know, I don't try to time the market necessarily. I just look for bargain opportunities. And that's a good formula for beating the market. If you want to beat the market, you want to select stocks, you want to buy stocks that are a bit out of favor, like the value stocks. I do recommend growth stocks. we are in technology stocks that are selling at high multiples, but we're, you know, I use stop orders to protect us on the downside because all of those stocks are gone way up high in value, and that could stop at any time.
Can you, for the layman, elaborate on what you just said, that to protect you from the downside, you have stop orders? What is that? How do you do that? What does that mean?
Yeah, so the ideal formula is to buy stocks that are paying nice dividends, rising dividends, that are not too overvalued with high PE ratios, price earnings ratios. You don't want to, you know, you want something that's profitable, that has double digit profit margins, but you don't want to overpay. That's really the key. So if the price is too high for some stocks, you may want to hold off investing that. The idea is to buy these stocks in industries that can't help but be expansionary or burgeoning over time, hopefully buy them at a decent price, and then you hold for the long term. However, things can change. Governments can do crazy things like they did last year. So you kind of need stop orders in place. So what you do is you place a stop order. Let's say the stock is at $100 a share. You might play a stop order at $80 a share, so that if the price of the stock goes below $80, you end up selling the stock. You take your licks or you take your profits and you move on to something else. So that's the idea behind stop orders, because nobody wants to face a 50% loss on their portfolio. And with stop orders, you can pretty well protect yourself from those kind of devastating losses.
All right. I'm just wondering how you come up with, I know that that was just an arbitrary number of $80 on an original purchase of 100, but maybe there are stocks that they do tumble to 80, but then they're destined to go to 120.
Yeah. And occasionally I make an exception to the rule. My value stocks, like my oil stock, collapsed last March. In fact, futures of crude oil were negative for a while. So that was a true crisis-oriented bear market and what we'd call a crash. But I held on because my companies were continuing to pay dividends and actually increasing their dividends. So I knew they were fundamentally sound. Nevertheless, look, you're absolutely right. A stock could hit the stop order and then turn around and start moving back up. But I would say 80% of the time, a stock that drops 20% hits the stop order, it's going to continue to drop for quite some time.
Okay.
It's not a guarantee, but that's generally been my experience in the 40 and 50 years I've been in the markets.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the kind of thing I want to ask about. Now, another thing, if I put my money somewhere, I want to know where I'm putting it and why I'm putting it there. I think an investor has to be informed, should know, first of all, what does this company do? And what's the industry like? And what are the prospects? And what, if anything, can the state do as an obstacle to it? Things like that. So I wonder how much research does somebody need to do? Because I know that it would be tempting for somebody to just look at the trend over time and say, well, this stock seems to be going up consistently. Maybe this is the one to pick. But that can't be right. So how do you know, at what point do you say, I know I could spend the rest of my life amassing information, but I've got all I need to get, and now I'm going to make my decision?
Yeah, so Tom, I think that you're on the right track, that you don't want to be a technical trader that just, I mean, there's a famous trader by the name of Ghosn who sealed off his entire house so he could not look outside. He, no telephone calls, no newspapers or anything like that. He just had the ticker symbols for the stocks, and he just looked at volume and price action only. He didn't even know what was fundamentally behind the stock or what the company did or anything like that. He just traded on the basis of charting. And I think that's a very dangerous idea because it's like playing poker without looking at what cards you hold. My advice is to look at the fundamentals, know what the company does, see if the company is in an industry that's growing and not in a secular decline, and see what earnings are doing, if there's a trend, and look at the technicals too to see if there's a price trend, what we call momentum. Is the stock moving higher on higher volume? There's lots of indicators to look at. But yeah, at some point you have to decide. And one of the worst mistakes that investors do is they get frozen and they don't make decisions at all, and they miss out on tremendous opportunities. You need to take action right away once you've decided what you want to do. It's kind of like thinking and feeling. You don't want to just think. You want to feel. You want to think through your investments rationally and so forth, and then you want to get a sense, a feel for the market. And then you act on it by buying individual stocks. Some people don't feel comfortable with that and they buy mutual funds. There are some good money managers. I've been recommending Ron Barron of the Barron Investment Funds, mutual funds, just as an example of a fund that has been managed for many years and outperformed the market regularly because they select stocks that are more profitable than most other stocks. They buy them at a decent value. And it's been a great strategy, and they've been very successful.
One more question along these lines. There's a concern I think a lot of people have that, of course, if there is a major crash, they're going to get really hurt. And that's how they look at it. So therefore, I don't want to get into it. Now, the other side of that is that crashes are unusual. They do reverse themselves ultimately. If you are always afraid of a crash, you're going to miss the upside for years and years. But the thing is, if the crash is timed just so, you know, just when I'm retiring, yeah, things may get back to normal in 15 years, but then I'll be in the grave. How do you advise people on that?
Well, it is a serious problem. I mean, for most people, if you're young enough and you're a long-term investor, you take in stride these occasional crashes that occur every 10 years or every 20 years. There's been one in 87. There's one in the year 2000. There was a one in 2008, and of course, there's one in March of last year. And if you panicked, you were left holding the bag because you sold out, the stock market recovered and moved to new highs. So dollar cost averaging, I mean, the U.S. market has been resilient to these crashes for some time. Plus, don't forget that the government is constantly determined to intervene and inject liquidity to keep the crash from continuing. And so far, they've been quite successful. Now, I always have a gold position to protect myself against the time when the government does everything they can and yet still can't reverse the crash. But we haven't reached a point at that point. So I think between stop orders that keep you from losing more than 20%, and dollar cost averaging in investments that pay dividends, pay rising dividends, pay generous dividends. And if you're well diversified into a variety of different kinds of investments, you're going to hold your own and you're going to have enough money to retire on.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. Well, just as long as we're on this topic, how do people subscribe to your newsletter? Do they go to your website?
My website is markskousen.com. We do offer an introductory offer of $99.95, I think is what the introductory offer is for a one-year subscription. It's a monthly newsletter. I also have a Monday hotline that they get via email or voicemail. So we keep people up to date on what's happening around the world. My newsletter is called Forecasts and Strategies. So my first part of the newsletter is talking about my outlook for stocks and bonds and interest rates in the economy. And I use the Austrian theory of the business cycle to determine where we are in the phase. I'm 100% invested because we are in the boom phase. There's no question we have the booming stock market, interest rates at near all-time lows, real estate booming, oil booming. Why not take advantage of the upside of the market? Austrian economists are too often doom and gloomers like Mises and Hayek and Schumpeter. They're all pessimists about the future. I'm one of those Austrian financial economists who tried to play the boom and the bust. So the bust is going to come. At some point, the Federal Reserve is going to start raising interest rates, and we're going to have an inflationary bust that the boom will turn into a bust. But I don't think we're at that point at this stage.
You know, I said that was the last one of these, but now this raises one more question. So the bust comes. When there's a bust, do you say either, okay, just sell and just get into cash? Or do you say sell, maybe get into a little cash, but there are other stocks that are poised to do well during the bust and we should shift into those?
So we use our stop orders. So we get stopped out. That puts us in a cash position. I don't like to just jump back in. I like to just wait a while and see what's happening, because even the government, for example, the government injected money into the system in the financial crisis in 2008 in October and November, and the market didn't really start recovering until March or April of the, you know, a 6 month period of time. So we were building a cash position. We didn't go 100% into cash, because the dividend paying stocks, if they continue to pay dividends, that cushions the fall, and I'm willing to ride through those kinds of periods. So I'm not totally into cash during a crash, because the government's working overtime to turn things around. And if you're totally into cash, then you're going to miss the bottom. It's going to be very difficult for you to get back in. So we'll get back in on a gradual basis and just monitor, know the signs of the times, as the Bible says.
Hey, everybody, let's take a break from this to thank a sponsor that I am so proud to have, and that is BetterHelp. A lot of us went through a really, really hard time in 2020. But even if 2020 had been normal, I know a lot of people suffer from depression and stress and anxiety, to the point where it's absolutely debilitating. You can't even imagine ever clawing your way out. Well, that's where BetterHelp comes in. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. You can send messages to your counselor and get timely responses. And there's a broad range of expertise represented at BetterHelp that might not be available in your local area. So they can help you with, indeed, depression and stress and anxiety, but also relationships and sleeping and trauma and grief and family conflicts and so on. It's confidential, convenient, professional, and affordable. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/woods. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/woods. All right, let's move on to a couple other things, because you sent me a couple of items that I think are interesting I want to talk about. I'm going to talk about them in reverse order. You were telling me about a global survey where people were asked what institution they trust the most. And I have to admit, Mark, I almost am in disbelief at the result.
Yeah, me too. And the result, I'm trying to think of the name of the firm that did it, but it was a global survey of individuals, and it said, which institution do you trust the most? Now, bear in mind, this was after the pandemic. This was just a few months ago. And the choices were government, business, NGOs, non-government organizations, charities, and so forth, and churches. And it turned out the business was number one. And that government, NGOs, and so on, they all declined in trust. But business, I think it was over 60% of people approved of business. And I believe the reason is because that is a game changer. That is a huge change, because people have been very skeptical of business, and that they're all about greed and taking advantage of people and all that sort of thing. But look what happened in 2020. The companies like Amazon delivered food, and Zoom delivered new technologies so that we could talk to each other, and schools could use it to continue education at home. And you had Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson come through in dramatic fashion with these vaccines. All of this gave a very positive view. And meanwhile, government, what was government doing? Well, all the controversies were regarding government, the shutdown of businesses, for them to deny basic rights. There's a lot of controversy that government did, and incompetence was one of them. I mean, if you look at the governors in California and New York and so forth. So they took a hit, and business came out smelling like a rose. So this is a very positive trend. I'm hoping it's a new trend.
Part of the reason I have trouble believing that is number one, because the propaganda against business is just so overwhelming year in and year out. It's very hard to overcome that. But secondly, people have complied with crazy, nonsensical government requirements for over a year with very, very few protests. Yeah, you can find some in Europe, but percentage-wise, they're invisible.
Right.
And so that's just been very discouraging.
We're talking about trust. And I do think a lot of people were sick and tired of the masks. They didn't They didn't say anything, but you could tell they were tired of it.
Well, that's, I mean, well, I have seen some of that. And that it's certainly, there's a dividing line in society now, which I don't like dividing lines, of course, but people are suspicious of each other. People who don't wear masks are, you know, for a while were considered bad, and people who do wear masks, well, maybe they can't think for themselves. So we've been pitted into these hostile camps against each other by the government, by and large, that they did this. They've created this social reality now where there's mutual suspicion, where there didn't have to be this kind of suspicion between people.
You know, Peter Drucker said something very, you know, the great management guru, Peter Drucker, who was an Austrian, by the way, born in Vienna. I've written an article called The Other Austrian. And Peter Drucker makes the point that the ideal social institution is big business because they are the ones capable of providing the social benefits that government cannot provide or provide very poorly. Drucker is being vindicated here by this trust survey. I think it's just wonderful news in an era where it's hard to find good news.
Yes, indeed. Now, more good news. Then you were telling me about a survey of Hispanics done by the GOP.
Right. This was done right before the Texas election, which favored the Republicans. And there's no indication that the Republicans created a distorted survey. What they did was they did a survey and they just asked Hispanics, which of the following two statements would you agree with most? Okay, the first one was unadulterated Milton Friedman. Quote, some people say free market capitalism is the best form of government because it gives people the freedom to work and achieve. You agree with that? The second one is what we call the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the AOC option. Quote, other people say that socialism is the best form of government because it is fairer and more equitable to working class people. So they did this survey and they found that 63% of Latino respondents opted for the Friedman position against only 17% for the AOC line. This was reported, by the way, last week in the Wall Street Journal. It's so refreshing because remember a couple of years ago, they did a survey of college students and the majority favored a return to socialism. So this is really a positive story, I think.
Well, no kidding. Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing, it's kind of a potpourri episode because I've got so many items from you. And as I was telling you, I read your newsletter. So as I said, that's how I knew you had a hand injury because of Joanne writing an article for you because of the hand injury. It was a bike riding accident?
Joanne and I got these electric bikes when we moved to California because you live up on a hill and to use regular bikes, you probably would have never used them to go up the hills. So we bought these electric bikes from Rad out of Seattle, and they're very good bikes and everything. But the problem is their brake system, I think, is defective because both of our bikes, our brakes failed us. And in the second case, I was headed down a hill and the brakes just suddenly stopped working. I rammed into a barrier and ripped up my hand pretty badly. It took like 20 stitches. And then I broke my wrist on top of it. So this was done over a month ago, and I'm still recovering. And so I'm officially a one-armed economist, Tom.
Well, so at least, yeah. So the old joke about, well, I think it was Harry Truman.
Yeah.
But I wish I had a one-armed economist so they couldn't always be saying to me, on the other hand.
Right. So I'm available for hire by President Biden anytime.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, you have a headline that seems almost impossible to be right. You say, why Biden-Harris want job shortages and inflation. What could you mean by that?
Yeah, so I think this is their artificial way of raising, you know, they couldn't push through the minimum wage. They didn't get enough Democrats to support the $15 minimum wage to get it. They get it through the House, but they couldn't get it through the Senate. So I think this is an indirect kind of deceptive way to get wages to move up. If you pay people not to work, to stay at home, if you create an inflationary environment through aggressive fiscal policy, deficit spending, and the Fed just printing money day and night, what's going to happen? Well, in order to get people to get off their duff and start working, they're going to have to come back to work, and employers are going to have to pay them more, higher wages. And then we're already seeing this where they're having to offer much higher wages and even bonuses to get people to get off the dole and come back to work. So I can see why they want to extend the unemployment to $300 a week, that they want to continue to put more and more money in the system, more money, printing more money, and chasing fewer goods and services. So inflation, everything is labor intensive. And so I do see Biden a method to his madness in doing this. And I passed this by a number of economists, and they all agree with me. They think this is exactly what Biden is doing.
Well, meanwhile, you've been analyzing this sort of stuff, as I mentioned at the beginning, in an investment newsletter for over 40 years. Now, I'm not going to ask you to date yourself by saying, telling us how young a man you were when you started the newsletter, but I would presume you had to be a political observer and in the markets for a while before having the confidence to start your own newsletter. I mean, at what point did you say, I'm ready to do this?
Well, yes, I think it's really important to have some experience before you jump into this wild and woolly markets of Wall Street. And in the 70s, I had that experience as the managing editor of the Inflation Survival Letter under Bob Kephart, who also published Human Events. So I was based in Washington, D.C. I had a PhD in economics. I'd just come from several years working for the CIA. So I had a baptism of fire in the financial markets with the energy crisis, double-digit inflation. You had all kinds of shortages during this time period. And the stock and bond markets were doing terribly. You know, the Dow was struggling for many years. So my very first investments were in gold and silver and real estate and alternative investing. So that was a good experience for me. So I started my newsletter in 1980 when Reagan was elected president. I recognized immediately a paradigm shift that Reagan, with Paul Volcker and others, was going to aggressively expand the supply, aggregate supply, and meanwhile cut back on aggregate demand, control the money supply, and that meant sharply higher interest rates. But eventually those interest rates came down, and for the last 40 years, we've had a bull market in bonds, lower and lower interest rates, and that has fueled an incredible boom in the stock market. So I reversed my gold bug history, where I was always investing in gold and silver and inflation hedges, and shifted back to the more traditional investments of stocks and bonds starting in 1980, and I've been pretty much pro stocks and bonds, occasionally dabbling in gold and silver as a speculation from time to time, but it served me well. And that's the way I look at it. Now, that era could end at any time, because the only reason we have a stock market that is constantly in a bull market is because free enterprise capitalism has flourished under Republicans and Democrats since 1980. But at some point, there could be a tipping point where inflation comes roaring back. I'm actually seeing some signs of stagflation like what we had in the 70s. And if we face that, we could go through a period of time of stagnating stock prices as well. We'll just have to see.
Well, as I say, I've been reading your newsletter since probably just toward the end of last year. I just love this because I know some of the economic side, but I just didn't know anything about the primary work you do in analyzing stocks and making these investment decisions. And I just love being exposed to a brand new world, something that I didn't know about before. So I'm going to be in attendance at the special reception you're having for subscribers of your newsletter at Freedom Fest next month, July 2021, in Rapid City, South Dakota. Part of that, you're having a special reception in honor of the 40th anniversary of the newsletter, and I'll be there myself. But I'll be there not just for that reception, but I'll be there for the whole event, and in particular because you honored me with a Tom Woods Day, where I have several panels that I'm chairing and speaking on. And then I've got a couple other things. I got a lunch I'm doing. I'm also doing an event with some documentary filmmakers your wife introduced me to, Joanne introduced me to, who are doing a great documentary on the government response to COVID. So we're going to do that. And I'm also the judge at the mock trial of the lockdowns. Now, before anybody objects that how can Woods be an impartial judge when he's been very vocal in his views, the judge is a merely ceremonial role here, that it is the audience who ultimately decides. And what I say will be more or less scripted. So plus I'm a scrupulously fair person anyway, but I'm really looking forward to it, Mark.
Well, Tom, I'll tell you, it is such a pleasure to have you returning to Freedom Fest. I believe you came a number of years ago, and we're in our 14th year. Now, this is the first time we've moved out of Las Vegas because we were unceremoniously locked down or shut down by the imperial governor of Nevada. And we just didn't want to reward them by returning anytime soon. We will go back next year. We'll be at the Mirage. But this year, we're in South Dakota. We're in the land of the free and the home of the brave. And near Mount Rushmore. We have over 2,000 people coming. It's very exciting. You know, one of the things that people love about Freedom Fest is you hear this all the time when people come together and they meet people of like mind, and they're just thrilled with this experience of getting together and with soul brothers and soul sisters, so to speak. It's just a great feeling. And we're there to learn from each other, to network, to socialize and celebrate liberty. The buzz that you feel at Freedom Fest in the exhibit hall, which John Mackey of Whole Foods calls the trade show for liberty, the 10th anniversary of the Anthem Film Festival is going on, so we're going to have some great films. We have senators. Senator Mike Lee is coming. We have Governor Kristi Noem welcoming us. So those are like politics, economics, finance. We have a three-day investment conference that you mentioned, my newsletter and others. We just have experts from all over the country. It's really going to be a fun thing. And I'm really hopeful that those of you listeners out there that are thinking about it, it's a month away. It would be great to have you. And a lot of people are driving there. They're biking there. They're RVing there. It's a family vacation. I am shocked how many people have never been to Mount Rushmore. I know you went there last year, but it really is. It's much more hospitable for outdoor activities compared to Las Vegas, which can be 120 degrees. Nobody goes outside at all. But we have lots of excursions and so forth. So we're just thrilled to have you and others. And by the way, we're getting Larry Arnn for the first time, the heroic president of Hillsdale College, who refused. He defied the state of Michigan and went ahead and did his graduation ceremony last June at Hillsdale College in Michigan. And from what I heard, he was able to comply with all the rules of social distancing and masks and so on. And they pulled it off without anyone getting COVID, from what I understand. So he's going to tell his story there. We're just thrilled to have him coming along with all the other usual suspects to Freedom Fest.
It's going to be great. And my people can take 50 smackers off the price. So you go to freedomfest.com and there's a promo code WOODS50. That's 50. Woods 50 gets you $50 off. So, you know, you listen, there are so many ways your life is improved by listening to the Tom Woods Show. Here's yet another one. So I'm very much looking forward to this. I've got some good panels on some great topics with some wonderful folks. Dave Smith will be there. A lot of your favorites are going to be there. And what Mark says is right. I've never been to South Dakota. The reason I went last year, Mark, was just simply because, number one, it was one of five states I had never visited. So in principle, I just wanted to, I want to get to all 50. I'm at 48 now. I don't know, I'm not going to think I'm going to be in Oregon anytime soon, but that's one of them, and Hawaii is the other one. But I went to South Dakota because I love traveling, and last year, everything was choked off. I could travel, but there was nothing to do. But in South Dakota, there were things to do. Now, it can get warm there also, but not Vegas-level heat. And secondly, if you get up early, you can go on a hike and be perfectly content. I get up, now I'm not normally the type to get up at 6 a.m., but I wanted to go hiking in South Dakota, and it was summertime. But we got up early, went and hiked for a couple of hours, and came back before the heat really even started. So if you want those outdoor activities, you can do them, and you won't be sweating to death or cursing Mark Skousen or anything like that. You'll enjoy it.
You know, in fact, I should mention that one of the fun things we're going to do is this session on which four economists belong on Mount Rushmore? We actually did a survey of this, as you recall, Google survey, and we got the rankings of what people thought. But this is going to be a real fun debate that we're going to do. Actually, our conference starts on July 21st, goes through the 24th. But on the 21st, we're going to have that debate on which four economists belong on Mount Rushmore. And I will say that I think the Austrians really took advantage of this, because I think three out of the four Austrians that they voted for. But we're going to have we're going to have representatives of the Chicago School and others, more traditional schools of economics, to debate this issue of who belongs on Mount Rushmore. We're also going to have a really cool debate on Murray Rothbard's latest volume, Conceived in Liberty. You know, this volume 5 that came out that Patrick Newman edited. It's kind of a surprise volume. And I don't know if you've taken a look at this, but we're going to debate.
Oh, I wrote either the foreword or the preface. So the judge wrote one, and I wrote the other. Yeah.
Okay. So our title is Murray Rothbard of the U.S. Constitution: Conceived in Liberty or Conspiratorial Coup for Big Government. So that's going to be a fun debate on the Constitution. Was this a good thing or a bad thing? I'm really looking forward to that debate as well. We also have about 15 other debates. So Freedom Fest is unlike the CNN and Fox News. We still have debates, and they're civil and they're exciting. So
right.
If people go to freedomfest.com, they can see all the whole program's now listed on our website. So once you see it, you'll want to come for sure.
Well, I'll tell people what's going on for my day. One is I'm doing a panel on, what else? The government COVID response. We're going to do a panel on that. And I've got Jordan Schachtel, who's been excellent on that, Matt Kibbe and AJ Kay, who have all been great. And then I've got a panel on the police, because we have a lot of people unhappy about the police. But then you ask them, so what do you want to do instead? And they don't really have much of an answer. Well, we have some answers. So we're going to do a session on police reform. And then Scott Horton has his book on the war on terror. And I am going to, on the main stage, challenge Scott for once in his life to give short answers to questions. We do lightning round of questions. He's like our friend. You know, Mark, you and I love Gene Epstein like a brother, right? He's a wonderful guy.
Yeah.
But my gosh, you wind him up and he doesn't stop, right?
He'll be there, by the way. If he's in the crowd, you may want to call on him and give him 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm going to see Scott is the same way. I'm going to see if I can get him, we're going to have 2-minute answers to some really interesting and provocative questions. So it's going to be a great time. Freedomfest.com. Use code Woods50. Save yourself 50 smackers. Well, Mark, I hope it's a huge success, and I'm looking forward to seeing you there.
Hey, thank you. Take care, Tom.
All right, everybody. Let me tell you what's coming tomorrow. Tomorrow, I've got Karen Ann Harlow's coming back. She is the secretary of the Libertarian Party, and she's going to talk to us about what's been going on with the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire. Now, it does not matter whether you are interested in the Libertarian Party. You will find this interesting. You will find this because there is deception and wickedness and backstabbing and all the sorts of things that we love in a good movie, but this is real life. And what's happened in New Hampshire is that it appears that the state chair has purged the executive committee and replaced it with people who lost at the convention, with the losers, basically, largely because she doesn't agree with the direction that those people were taking the party. So apparently there's some clause somewhere. If you don't like the direction the party's being taken, you can just purge everybody. So we're going to talk about what's actually been going on with that and get the most recent update from somebody who is on the Libertarian National Committee. So make sure and join me for that. And if you like and appreciate what goes on here at the old Tom Woods Show, you are going to be like a kid in a candy store as a supporting listener of the show because of all the goodies you get. It is an embarrassment of riches. I tell you, you are going to love it, and you'll be a member of the Tom Woods Show elite, which is our great group of normal people. So check that out at supportinglisteners.com. Warm my heart thereby, and I will see you all tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.